morning, everyone. We're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi on page Kuf Vav, Ois Kuf Mem Hei, number 145. As we're leaving part of this topic, leaving the topic of Gehenna and moving on to a different kind of fear. Arata, until this point, Asaknu B'yira Mipnei Onshei Gehenna. We've been dealing with the fear out of the punishments of Gehenna. Ata Nasok B'yira Mipnei Yisurei Oilam Hazeh Kecholi U'machoiv. Now we're going to start discussing the fear that one should use, that have over suffering in this world, such as sicknesses and pain. Reishis, in other words, how to see how this can bring us closer to Hashem as well and not distance ourselves from Hashem. Reishis alo adam lisboinen sevivo. First of all, a person should look around his surroundings. Lureis es hacholim, Hashem yirachem asher sevivo. You should take a look at the sick people. God should have mercy on them which are around him. Zechoy lelev rachmanuzlan. This one has heart pains. God forbid sickness of the heart. V'zechoy lebraglayim. This one has sickness of the feet. V'chul v'chul, etc., etc. Look around your environment and your community around the world and see all the sick people in the world. V'zay yisbonei ba'atzman. The person should reflect upon himself. V'pnei ma b'nei adam elu cholim b'kach. Why are these people sick? V'chihem cholim l'lo siba. Are they sick without any reason? V'adei she'en akein. Certainly that's not so. Kein yisurim b'lo chet. There's no suffering without sin. U'b'chol eivr ve'eivr shadam chotabo. And in any, each an individual limb that a person should sin with. K'nega kachu nenesh v'lo k'b'eivr zeh. Parallel to that, a person is punished and is smitten on that, in that limb. And therefore, and every limb where I see people are afflicted, it's well known that they have made some kind of blemish and sin with that limb. And thereby, a little bit of fear will go into his heart. Now, you have to qualify this paragraph. Again, it's not our job to just judge the people who have these sicknesses. And we wouldn't just judge people based on what we see, as things can come from other, for other reasons as well, especially previous lifetimes, etc., etc. But again, you know, no matter what we say about all the other reasons for suffering in this world, the bottom line is, if the world was totally free from sin, the world would be totally free from suffering. And there's no question about that statement. We aren't so skillful to know how to relate a certain pain to a certain sin. This is what we are not skilled in. And it's not always as simple as this person's arm is hurting him. He must have punched someone in the nose. It's not that, it could be that simple, but it's not always, and in fact, not usually that simple. So that's what we got to realize. And even if a tzaddik is suffering, it could be suffering for other people's sins. But those sins are out there. So that is clear. So when a person sees suffering in this world, you directly relate it to sin. And that's a sin that somewhere, somehow, there was some sin that relates to that particular organ. And if a person sins that way himself, he should have fear to not sin that way, because somehow he will bring this into the world. He'll bring it into this world in a way that someone is going to suffer from it. It could be you. It could be, you know, things that will somehow come back and relate to you. There is no way you're getting out of this. So that's another thing we could look at in terms of bringing in a little bit of fear of sin. You don't want people to be sick in this world. So how about if we take care of our mitzvah observance? That's Kuf Mem Hei. Kuf Mem Vav. Milvadzos, besides this, Yamchish es hadvorim ba'ofen muchashi. A person should make this aspect in a real way that he could feel it in a real way with his senses. Nitein duk miladov. Let's give you an example of what we mean here. Yamal b'makam mesuyim bo nimtza chefetz chavirov. Let's say you stand in a certain place and you find a certain object of your friend. Ubein roa, and nobody's watching. Yamod, he should stand, vayomer, and say, and in the brackets it says, he should say it to himself in the beginning, and afterwards he should say it directly as if speaking to Hashem. He says like this, Hare biyadi lichora lignov chefetze. It is in my hands, if I wanted to steal this object. Sure, ain't kan adam sharoa any clock, because there's nobody who sees me at all. So madua shloes, so why shouldn't I do this? Because I know that if God forbid I will steal, I will get punished. And if I will steal the thing that's in my hand now, it must be that this hand will be punished. If it's through an injury, or with paralysis, or if God forbid it will be amputated, but I will get some kind of punishment from this. So Cain Yaseh Dugmas Mein Elu Baraglov, so too you should make a similar example of your feet. Shiyachshov V'yomer L'asmi, should think and say to himself, Hine Yochel Alechas Mokam Ploni, I can go to this place. Shine Yodea She'os Alechas, so I know it's forbidden for me to go to this place. Go Mokam Pritzus, like a place of immorality, a place that's not mod, is promiscuity. But makom deika darkachrina, and you have another way to travel. You don't have to go this way. Umadua eneni halkos. Why am I not going that way? Because I know I'll get punished with my feet. God forbid. V'chein b'ri'ia, so too with looking. A person should say to himself, you know, I could look at this bad thing. I could look at this, I could click on to this next website, and I could see this, but if I do this, I know I'll get punished. Ushmi, or listening to Lashon Hara, or whatever. Ubechol davar, and everything. Yam chisos laso, make this real to yourself. Odpam, again and again. Pamim rabasos, many, many times. Ken yam chish la'atzmo chol mini ofanim, you make this real in all different areas, in all different ways, all different shapes and forms. With every sickness that he comes across, he should make use of this type of sickness to think of it in terms of fear. Now again, in the brackets he says, it's understood, you only do this at the times where you're working on acquiring the trait of fear. Because every time you got to look at the area in which you're engaged in the dialogue, it's easy to understand. In other words, it's got to be when you're in acquiring Yerushalayim mode, as we'll talk about later on. In other words, you've got to be engaged in trying to acquire this trait, and while you're setting yourself aside and said, I want to work, I'm a Yerushalayim, that's the time to do this. Don't do it when other things are going on, because it gets too confusing for the person. You can't stay focused. Now, look what he says. Now the next half a page is a little bit tricky over here, because he's going to say, on the one hand, this is easier to acquire than the fear of Gehenna, and the other hand he's saying it's harder than acquiring the fear of Gehenna. So we'll see how he brings this out here. He says, "V'zayoser kal hasaga mi yisur agedim." It's easier to comprehend this concept of physical pains in this world than pains in the world in Gehenna. Why? Ki yisuri ha-Gehenam einam nirim la'ayin. Because the pains of Gehenna is not seen to the human eye. We really have not seen it, and we'll never see exactly what Gehenna is. Ma'ashayekin yisuri ha-lamazeh nikarim la'adam b'chush kovar. But the pains and suffering in this world, a person clearly sees this. V'yarim ha-men, he's really afraid of those more than anything else. Ulam da'aka. But that is the problem also. Why? Because there's many people who sin, clear and obvious and evident sins. And still and all, ain't onu roim shem ninashim klal. And we don't see them getting punished at all. Ulakacha adam, and therefore a person, sometimes consciously and sometimes not consciously, his feeling and his sensing gets weaker. What sense? That a sin must, in its wake, bring a fourth suffering. It gets weakened, even though you see the suffering. And you know it happens, but you don't necessarily think it's going to happen to you. Why? Because against your eyes a lot of times see the opposite. What your eyes see, this guy sins, he doesn't suffer. The other guy doesn't sin, he does suffer. So it's all a crapshoot anyway. It's all luck of the draw. So what does it really matter? I see this tzaddik, he must have never sinned, and he's suffering. So what's going to help if I don't sin? I'll suffer like this tzaddik. And the other guy, that bozo who's sinning left and right, and we know he's the worst guy in the world, and everything is fine with him. Everything's great with him. So on one point, you do see the suffering. So that is an advantage, because Gehenna, you don't see the suffering. Here you really see, it's not hard. You go to any hospital, you'll see plenty of suffering in this world. But on the other hand, there appears, although it's incorrect, it appears to be no rhyme or reason to that suffering. So then you say, well, I guess I can get away from things. Right? So, and obviously, Hashem does this to keep our free will choice. Because if it was so obvious, we wouldn't have free will choice, and we wouldn't be doing it because we, again, remember what he said last week. We have to remember that the main reason you're having the fear of this punishment is because you don't want to be distanced from Hashem, and it's not because of the eye. It's not because of narcissistic self-preservation feelings. Although he said that could be a cherry on the top, but that's not the main thing. But if you always saw when a person did sin X, he was punished with sin punishment Y, and you always saw it every day, then why would you have fear of sin only for one reason? So you won't get hurt. It'll have nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. So that wouldn't help either, you see. So God has to balance the act in a way that you see that there is suffering, and you know that there is suffering, and you know it is going to come, but he does it in a way to fool you enough that you can think that you can get away with it. So now why are you really going to do it? It's got to really be because you don't want to be distanced from Hashem. And that you know that if a person sins, the only way that, and Hashem has rachmanis on us, and the only way he can get us back to being close to him is by causing us to suffer. So that'll stop. Then you'll realize I should be afraid of that distancing that comes from that to begin with. That's the positive way to do it. So there's always got to be that part that is just not 100% sure. Because if it's 100% sure, then you will only be engaged in fear of God out of self-preservation and not of wanting to be close to God. If God could bring Gehenna down and we would see now, have videos now of people burning in Gehenna and screaming in Gehenna, and we see everybody who left this world, almost everybody is in some form of Gehenna, you would see it and feel it and touch it, then of course you'd have that fear. So therefore, what does God do? He doesn't let us see it. So you can always doubt. And it's distant from our mind because, you know, it's not going to be there till who knows when. Right? So you see, God can't make it so obvious because then it's only a question of self-preservation. So, you know, it's the same thing, you know, yiras haspaus, fear of a spouse. You know, there's certain things you're not going to do because if you do it, you know, your spouse will kill you. So now you have to start things. So why am I really not doing it? So here's where it gets tricky. Truth of the matter is, you know, if one spouse does something negative to another spouse, it will cause a distancing. There's no question about it. You insult your spouse for for 30 seconds, you will cause a distance between your spouse and yourself. Now, if that is something that you don't want to have happen, so you're going to avoid doing it because of this distance that happens. And then, you know, of course, our spouses aren't God. Again, God will only punish you only because he doesn't want that distance to exist. Our spouses are human, and it might not be so altruistic why they will negatively react to what we do. Only if you're mamish married to a tzaddik or a tzaddikas. So, okay, they're gonna lash back. They're gonna lash back. So the truth is, when your spouse lashes at you, you should be saying, "What did I do to cause a distance in the relationship?" Because it's not that usual spouse is going to lash back for no reason. Of course, we always play the game to blame the other one and not ourselves, so we don't have to accept responsibility. But if you have a head on your shoulders and you realize out of nowhere your spouse is lashing back at you, you might be able to start questioning your own behaviors. But and then that's good. In other words, why don't you insult your spouse today? Because I know it'll hurt the relationship, and I don't want to hurt the relationship, and that's not a good thing. And that's good fear. That's a good fear. But on the other hand, if you know, your spouse will kill you, and when your spouse responds, it is so painful, you don't want to go through the pain of it, then there's only a selfish interest involved. So you got to be careful. If your wife says, if you do that, I'll kill you, and she'll make your life miserable for months and months and months, so you're not going to do it. It's just plain and simple, not because you care for her. You really would like to insult her, but you're not going to, because that's not worth it. Okay, it's better than nothing, as the tzaddik has told us. It's still better than nothing. But that's not the way you want to do it. You want to do it because you don't want to hurt the relationship. Right, so that's why God has to create, same thing here. So God can't make it so obvious that every person, as soon as he sins, he gets smitten immediately. Because then you're only going to stop out of self-preservation. You're not going to stop out of love. And you don't want to have these barriers being created. So that's why he's saying it's kind of a catch-22 here. On the one hand, it's easier to sense this reality of suffering, but it's harder to associate it with the people who do the things that are wrong. Let's go back inside now. Sharei be'emes, because the truth is, and now the answer to our doubts is, because there are sins that a person receives the punishment for them in this world, and there's certain averos that you get punished for them in the higher world, and they all are with deep heavenly calculations. So, in other words, one simple way of saying this is that we never know what private issues of suffering people have while outwardly things look good. So many times people say, look at that family. They have a great family. It's a model family. They're very good. They have a good press agent. That's all. They make sure they have good PR. You have families where everybody's jealous of them. Look, they're both so handsome and attractive, and the guy's making money, and they're always laughing and smiling and this and that. And one day you wake up and you find out they're getting divorced. 20 years later, they're getting divorced. And you say, wow, that's shocking, And you find out, it comes out, it was 20 years of hell. You never see those stories? It's 20 years of hell. But they're able. But in public, they always knew to. The family rule, never take out your dirty laundry, always keep it in the house. I mean, look, for 20 years, 30, it was just hell. Right? So, and you thought everything was fine. You think everything was fine. Or somebody, had a very serious illness for so many years, and they never told anybody, and no one ever knew. People can be financially bankrupt, and somehow they go on for years and years borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, and then one day you see the guy commit suicide. I mean, and it doesn't always show up so quickly. You have to have good memories. The Chafetz Chaim would always say, different stories that, he would see people doing something terrible, terrible. There's one story of a wealthy Jew who foreclosed on a widow and took away her house and all these things. And he told his tummy, he says, you wait and you wait and you wait and see what's going to happen to this guy. And then like 30, 40 years later, real calamities came by this guy. And Chavetz Chaim said, whoever was still around to remember, he said, that's what it's for. And everybody forgot 40 years ago. Who remembers what the guy did? He could have done all kinds of different things, but forgot all about it. Chavetz Chaim would never forget. It would not to be a bad guy, but he says, it can't be. If a guy did such a thing, and the Torah says, God will punish the guy. And the Torah goes out of its way specifically when you cause widows and orphans to suffer. The Torah is more specific about the punishments. Chavetz Chaim says, it's impossible. This guy isn't going to get it. And years later, he got it. He got it really badly. So we think, we look around. So why is this guy so? Why is that guy so? There's so many secret things that nobody is aware of. Unless you're very, very good friends with those people. And even then, not always to what extent. Nobody knows the private, real private issues between husbands and wives and children, quite often we're not that privy to, and we don't know the incredible, incredible suffering that people go through. So that's always, and beyond that, you know, what about previous life existences where the sufferings come or don't come, or where God's leaving it for somewhere else? So leave it up to God, but you have the bitachon to know that it definitely is true and it definitely is going to happen. But even though that's the case, continuing inside, so therefore this method is hard to acquire complete fear. So therefore, what's his solution to this one? So what do we got now? We got the suffering of Gehenna is something we can't even relate to. And although that's, you know, seems really, really bad. Sufferings of this world we can relate to on one level, that we know that they exist, but on the other hand, we don't kind of see the quid pro quo in terms of the measure for measure and how they are doled out to people, so we kind of believe it may not be so accurate. So what are we going to do? Therefore, a person should try to acquire this attribute of having this fear of sin through both means, through thinking about the sufferings of Gehenna and through thinking of the sufferings in this world. Each one according to his strength. In other words, use both and try to get a little bit from one, a little bit from another as best as possible. However, he adds right away, it's very clear, you have to increase your prayer, as we've discussed in great detail earlier. Look over there. We've got to pray to Hashem to help us acquire this yiras, this fear of sin. You've got to daven, you have to make tefillas to say, Hashem, I want to have this fear of Hashem. And you know, you go over the reasons of why that's important and those five steps that he listed on page Kuvhei. You know, Hashem, help me be aware of who created the Gehenna and who creates sufferings in this world and who is the one who is giving out the sufferings and what's the purpose of the sufferings. All those prayers that we talked about. And you have to pray, and Hashem, help me make it real for myself. And that clearly is something that will help. Yeah? Please go ahead. Just speak a little louder for the tape recorders, please. Okay, so the questions are, how do you know if you're suffering in a certain area, how do you know what sin is for? And number two, if you're suffering in this world, do you know that that means you're not going to suffer in the next world? Or vice versa, if you're not suffering this world, does it mean you are going to suffer in the next world? All right, so those are really questions that are a little bit off topic, because it's really focusing merely on suffering and not the Yiras Shamayim that comes from it. So, just briefly, you know, there are certain mystical svarim that talk about ways to do this, but you know, we really aren't sophisticated enough to know that. I mean, you know, you could say on a simple level, we know that the right hand is mystically chesed, is kindness. So if your right hand is hurting, there's probably something wrong with your kindness. And your left hand is gvur, your left hand is control. If your left hand is hurting, then there's some areas of sin of control. And through the different body, the major body parts are the seven mitos, the seven characteristics. So, you know, that's on one simple level. And then you just have to think. You have to think. Now, again, if we had a prophet, he would tell you directly. You wouldn't have to guess. So we have to guess sometimes. You know, you can go to a tzaddik, he could tell you. I mean, and mystical svarim say, you know, what things you should do as an atonement for certain sins. They do in Chuvan. That's why, in general, there's a lot of in the older svarim that you know, although we don't necessarily do this now, the older svarim talk a lot about fasts, to fast, because that's always that gets your whole body. If you fast for a whole day, your whole body's suffering, so you know you're gonna get the part more often than not. Different self-inflicted sufferings in ways that don't cause permanent damage, you know, rolling in snow and things like that. But we don't do that. We can't do that anymore. The rabbis now say we're not on the level to live this way. But so that's why they have these general things. it's, you know, as they say, what do you do when you look for something that's lost? You try your best to find something. A lot of times you find other things you lost before while you're looking for it. So, you know, while you're trying to do this, you know, if you're trying to do tshuva in this area, maybe that's not the real problem, but certainly you must have sinned sometime in that area to take care of that. So those are general things. So, you know, that's why it's always best to have, you know, what do you call it? Preempt this. It's always better to do tshuva and not sin, so you don't have to come out. But if you're suffering in a certain area, you know, you got to think about it. It's not always so simple. And it's not always you. It could have been your previous existence that sinned in that area. Okay, so you have to try your best. You know, so you go to a tzaddik and ask a tzaddik, and maybe a tzaddik, there's not a lot of tzaddikim around who can help you with that. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes other people, it's so obvious and you don't see it. Sometimes it's so obvious and you don't see it. And you go to anyone objective and they could tell you right away. That's the hard part, to go to someone who's objective. I told you the story in the Talmud. This rabbi told his, he was suffering, he told his friends, help me, tell me what I did wrong. So one of his friends made the big mistake of telling him. And the guy yelled and screamed and said, no, I don't accept it. So, you know, you got to be very honest to say, you know, I'm having this problem, and please tell me what it is, and to accept what other people say. So it's you know, you can get a lot of times. You can get a lot of times, not always. But it's not that helpless. It's very rare. I mean, I know people don't really look into it, because very few people come to me asking what they did wrong. It's too embarrassing. You know, people, it's not an easy thing to do. Maybe you can go to your spouse. Maybe go to a close friend. It's just it's a very embarrassing thing. A couple people do, but most don't, because they're afraid what I'm going to say, or they're afraid to tell me their personal things, whatever it is, or they don't think I can do it, and probably that's also partially true. So that's the answer to the first question. Second question is, so if I'm suffering this world, does it mean I won't suffer in the next world, and vice versa? No, it doesn't mean that at all, because there are some, because there can be multiple sins. Let's say simply, a person did two sins, one is to be punished in this world, and one is to be punished in the next world. So you have no proof. The fact that you're suffering now doesn't mean you're not going to suffer in the next world. And the fact that you're, on the other hand, the fact that you're not suffering now does not mean you have to be suffering in the next world as well. Although that's probably unlikely. It's probably unlikely, because the law of averages would suggest that most people in this world have done a sin. But don't worry, we all suffer plenty in this world. I don't think there's anybody in this room that isn't suffering to one extent or another. Remember, learn Hilchos Teshuvah. They don't have to be cataclysmic sufferings. You could have just a little nudge that you have all your life. You know, a very simple level. Let's say a kid is anaphylactic, never really had an attack, but his whole life has to carry that EpiPen with him. You know? So that's a suffering, you know? You know, when you're a little kid, kids make fun of you. You're the queer, you're the sicko. You know how kids are, unfortunately, sometimes, you know. And then you forgot to take the EpiPen, and you got to drive back 15 minutes to go back, right? So in the grand scheme of thing, that's not cataclysmic. But add up the nudge over, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, I don't know if it's a lifetime. So that, you know, add the little bits together, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. So, you know, don't always think you haven't suffered a lot in this world, but don't think you've suffered at all. It's always good to have an attitude that you're not in the clear. So you'll do your best to do tshuva. Remember, tshuva, at the end of the day, according to all the people writing about tshuva, you know, you can't. There are enough resources available to a person to avoid punishment in this world and in the world to come, if you do the things that rabbis tell you to do, and they're not easy things. You know, giving tzedakah is a big thing, to even for Chil Hashem. We learned the Rabbeinu Yonah in the Rambam class that there's a lot of things you can do to avoid even the sufferings of Chil Hashem that we say you can't get atonement in this world. But they're not easy things. You got to really learn Torah. You got to really toil in Torah. You got to suffer in acquiring the knowledge of Torah. And that there's all kinds of things that you can do. It's a good idea for people to do this. That's the best medicine one can take to avoid sufferings later on. Bring your own sufferings onto yourself. I mean, in a good way. You know, take on projects that are a pain in the neck, that nobody wants to do, but they're good for the Jewish people. You know, try fundraising for a Jewish cause. That'll give you a lot of atonement. Believe me, the sufferings you have to go through, the embarrassment and the groveling and this and that, and you know, and the guy's got no time for you, and this, it's a very self-effacing activity. Just do it for a little while. You know, you get good fine kapara for those things. So there's we have things at our disposal if we want to do those kinds of things. Yeah, there's a couple hands up. Yeah.
But thanks. It's like, no, I'm not talking about disposal. But I just, like, we talk about tzedakah on one hand. Sometimes it's just not ringing through me, because does the religion speak to doing things for the sake of being good as opposed to for the sake of fear or pain? Like, I know there's, it's like, it's such a small distinction, but you talk about tzaddiks, I mean, Yir Shamayim is a basic principle. So does that mean that all of the good is done out of a certain sense of fear, or is there good for good's sake?
Okay, so you're asking, is after hearing all this, being good because of the fear of punishment, is there a concept of being good for good's sake? So the answer is, as the tzaddik didn't overtly say it, but it is clear by the order of his presentation. He has only introduced this topic of fear of sin after we've gone through 75% of the book. And the first 75% of the book is teaching us how to love Hashem, how to feel and sense His kindness and His love for us. So that has been the first four major steps of the book, was, you know, understand that Hashem loves you and that Hashem is doing everything with you with the most detailed attention and care. And that's level of avoda. Now that you have that, and you know, again, you have to remember, you know, this is a crash course book without really going through the curriculum. In other words, this is a program that takes a couple of years, and in a true sense, you're really not going to work intensely on this section till we've thoroughly mastered the earlier sections. That will take a long time, and that long time is really focused on the love that Hashem has for us. To focus on every little wonderful thing that He does for us. You know, no different than what I said last night, yesterday morning, right at the end of the Mishnah Berurah class, that Hashem gives us so many opportunities to feel His love, even by just washing your hands before bread. There's so much opportunity to feel God's love for you. And when you're eating a meal, to feel God's love for you, that unfortunately we ignore. But if we would really focus on that, there would be plenty of love of Hashem, and that's really a critical point. On the other hand, you know, people are human, right? And better than that. But on the other hand, there is still a concept of Gehenna that God did create, and there is a concept of suffering this world that God did create. So that has to be used as a tool to come close to Hashem as well. Those things can't just live. You know, he said that Yiras Shamayim is for everybody. So that now, when the relationship is so strong in love, now you can employ this fear. Fear has to be built on love to be something that brings you close for a good reason and not for a bad reason. You can love a person so much, and then like you're so afraid to do something that might hurt your spouse's feelings, not merely because you love them, but you chas v'shalom wouldn't want to do anything to hurt the relationship. That's not a negative thing at all. That's not negative. If it's only because you don't want to hurt the relationship, that's wonderful. And that's why he said last week when he said you got to get the five steps of this fear very clear. And the critical one is the third. That the purpose of punishment, right, is to bring a person close. That's the only reason Hashem punishes us, to remove the barriers. And then to know, then therefore I'm afraid to do an avera that would cause a barrier, that would need a punishment to remove the barriers. Right? So it's really, it's a positive thought. I don't want to do something that will create a barrier that would cause Hashem to have to punish me to remove the barrier, because then I know that I've hurt the relationship. So even that's a positive way of looking at suffering, because any suffering that could come is from my creating a barrier. So having a fear of creating a barrier is a positive thing. But that's going to come more often if you love than if you're indifferent. Although he does say, but there is still an aspect of self-interest, and that is reserved only for the weakest moments in your life where you just don't have the love today. And it could be on rare occasions you're in a down mode. You know, we all go through ups and downs, and the avoda of a Jew is to be as up as much as possible. We are human, and we will be down. There'll be times that we're down, and times that we're not spiritually strong. Okay, only at those hopefully rare moments, and when nothing else is working, you know, all those wonderful, the love and this and that. But you know, the last 3 months, you've gone through such a situation where it's been very hard for you to see the love of Hashem, and you're hitting rock bottom. And now you're tempted to sin. So then you got to pull out. Then you got to pull out the lowest level of fear to stop you from that. But this is not, when we talk about the general Yiras Hashem, it's always said in this loving way. It has to be in that loving way. Yeah. Yes.
It doesn't do anything.
That's right.
You suffer for nothing, and then you end up suffering in death.
That's right. It's always good to accept the suffering that you have with love.
And then the other question love. I had was, why is there a specific reason that nobody seems to be learning these Musa books about Gehenna and these things that Tzadik says it's so important?
It's working, isn't it? Well, I'm sorry, what?
No, is there a specific reason that...
It's good we have one tape that's working. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Are the reasons we don't learn these books that describe real terrible Gehenna? Yeah. Is because most of us wouldn't be able to take it. If you really read what's written, you would probably leave the religion. I'm sure there's, you know, righteous people read it. I mean, you know, some of you could read it, but you know, it's not outreach material.
No.
we'll go to the campus and tell them all how they're going to burn in Gehenna. It isn't going to work. It's not going to be a motivator. No, that, you know, it is. It's not hidden svarim. You can get the Reishis Chachma and you could read it, you know, but it's just too scary. I mean, it's not the kind of stuff you would teach a high school yeshiva bacher, you know, and they said many, many times, many of the Hasidic Rebbes and the contemporary Gedolim, they all say the way to reach out to people, and not even reach out to ourselves, is through love. It's not going to come through fear. It's not going to come from this tough discipline. It has there's time for discipline, but it has to come overwhelmingly from love. And these things are not going to engender love. And remember, this is all after you've done a lot more work. And so many people are so far away from the beginning of the work, so what's it going to help? What's it going to be? You're going to tell the guy, you're going to burn in hell. The guy says, okay, Rabbi, I'm already burning in hell. I might as well enjoy myself. That's a common reaction. Okay, the rabbi said, if you do A, B, C, and D, any one of them, you're going to burn in hell. I've got them all in spades. So forget it. He told me how hard it is to do tshuva. So I'm finished. I'm a cooked goose. So you know what? I'm only 40. I can still chop for another 20, 30 good years. So I might as well, you know, enjoy my life. Because I'm going to hell anyway, Rabbi. So it's not a good tool to work because of the problems that are inherent. You don't feel the pain that minute. So it usually doesn't work. So therefore we don't do it. It used to work, but it doesn't work anymore. So there's no point. There's a place for it at a certain time in your Avodas Hashem. But it's not, very few people spend enough time in Avodas Hashem that we can even get to there. And most rabbis are still, you know, if they ever tried, are on page one. So that's why we're not any further than this. And, you know, we're not going to... you will spend time, and only at the right time, the right place. Yeah.
So, extension of Mitch's question about is kind of such a thing as good for good's sake. Sounds to me what you're saying is that in fact the good is to get close to Hashem. It's not good in itself. That's why you would be good.
The doing good is to get close to Hashem. That's the whole. Remember, I know it's been a while. Let's try to remember, what were the challenges we had in the beginning of the book? How do you feel this closeness to Hashem? Remember we said, you know, you can feel close to your wife, you can feel close to your kids. Why is it we don't feel close to Hashem? He gives all the reason why we can't. If you don't feel close to Hashem, you can't love Hashem. You can't feel His love. And the whole point of all these exercises is to feel that Hashem is here, and to feel this closeness to Hashem, and to develop this love of Hashem. And by keep talking to Hashem, remember we've gone through the world of prayer, and the world of prayer, to live with prayer, are all these things that bring Hashem closer to us. And when you have all these things, you know, you will feel close to Hashem, and you will not think too much of doing Averis in and of itself. But then there'll be higher levels where you're really a good person, but I'm afraid maybe I did a sin. Let me try to be more careful. Those are aspects of Yiras Shemaim, where you're going to take on more chumras and more chumras because you chasvam don't want to do an averus. But that's much later on down the line. It's not in the initial stages. Never is going to work in the initial stages.
So does that mean there's no such thing as doing something lishma?
Of course there's doing something lishma. Lishma is, I am doing a mitzvah to get close to Hashem, and that's the ratzon of Hashem, and that's why I'm doing it.
Okay, but that's the lishma.
The lishma, you know, loving your spouse because you love them is lishma. Loving your spouse because you know they give you A, B, C, D, E, and F, that's not lishma. You know, if you love Hashem because He's going to keep this, because if I do it, He'll keep me healthy. And if I do it, He'll give me this. And I do it, that's not lishma. That's why the best love of Hashem is when things aren't going well. Because that really proves that the love is sincere. That's the real testing ground to know where your love is. And the real love between a husband and wife is, you know, when one spouse, Chas Shalom, is very sick or not very helpful for reasons, for not, doesn't matter what, and you still love that person. That is the litmus test to know how lishma it is. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.